Free? Really? Today is a day when many voices join together to ask one specific question. Why is God so silent in the face of so much suffering and pain? The reason this question is so powerful today is because the one place where God seemed to be the most silent was at the cross of his own son, Jesus Christ. Jesus himself cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It is those words that haunt us, not just today, but on so many days of our lives. My God, why? These are the words that have echoed down through the centuries from that fateful day at Calvary. Why, we wonder, was God so silent at Jesus' cross? Only Mark and Matthew recorded these words from the cross. Luke and John recorded other words that were not contained in the other Gospels, but these words there, "Why have you forsaken me?" So what, we may wonder, prompted Jesus to say those words as he hung on the cross? Was this a cry of doubting, as some people actually believe? Hanging on the cross, did Jesus ask himself, "Have I misunderstood my calling? Have I been wrong about the mission of the Messiah?" Did this cry raise large questions about the purpose of his life? Being crucified like a common criminal maybe made him rethink his mission in life. Were the mocking tongues that surrounded the cross right? Dare he contemplate that he had wasted his life? Maybe that cry was a cry of desertion. All had forsaken him, didn't they? Where was Peter at the cross? Where was Matthew? Where was Zacchaeus? Where was the centurion who he helped? Where was the man named Bartimaeus who was once blind? Where were the crowds that used to press in on him day after day? Or the crowd that of 5,000 that he fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Or the crowds who brought their sick, seemingly innumerable numbers? Where were they? Where are they? Here, on the cross, he was deserted. He was isolated. He was alone. Maybe this cry from the cross was a cry of dereliction. Did God abandon him on the cross, as some theologians have actually suggested? Was it a cry of absolute isolation? Did God turn his back on his son? You know, a derelict ship is one that's abandoned by men and even rats. Did Jesus raise his cry against an empty sky because he felt so abandoned? Was he in the depths of despair? Did the cross experience thrust him into the dark night of the soul? Was that the cause of this cry? Now, maybe Jesus experienced some, or maybe even all of this, I don't know. But let me suggest for a moment that this cry of Jesus was primarily a cry of identification. Here at the cross, God was uniquely in Christ. Here at the cross, we see God identifying with men and women, you and I, in all our suffering. God was no more present than at the cross. At the cross, Jesus completely identified with our humanity as he suffered the consequence of humanity's sin. In other words, as many of us know, his fate on the cross should have been ours. The scene around the cross has so many mini dramas that take place. One of them is when Jesus cries out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which in the Aramaic language, the crowd around there thought he was calling out for Elijah, the prophet. And muttered through painful, cracked lips, "Eloi" might have been mistaken for the prophet's name. But Jesus' words there have nothing to do with Elijah, but rather have everything to do with Psalm 22. His cry is a quotation from that psalm. Maybe you realized that when you had it in your devotions recently in this Holy Week. But you know the last few lines of Psalm 22? Lines that of Psalm 22 at the end talk not of abandonment, but they talk of hope and assurance. Could it be that Jesus was preparing us to hear the last words from the cross? For the last words on the cross, we know, were not, "I am forsaken," are they? The last words from the cross are a shout of victory. "It is finished." Forsaken was not the last word in Psalm 22. It was not the last word from the cross. Jesus did cry out in identification with all of humanity. But he also ended his life, used his very last breath to express the triumphal assurance of God's presence, even in the worst of experiences. And that's the point, isn't it? That's why this day has so much significance for all of us. At the cross of Christ, you and I discover that God gives us the same answer in his silence that he gave his son at Calvary. The experience of Jesus on the cross gives us confidence in the face of our own tragedies and pain. In May 1995, Randy Reed, he was a 34-year-old construction worker, was welding at the top of a nearly completed water tower in the city of Chicago. According to writer Melissa Ramsdell, Reed unhooked his safety gear to reach for some pipes when the metal cage slipped and bumped the scaffolding on which he stood. The scaffolding tipped and Reed lost his balance. Reed fell 110 feet, landing face down on a pile of dirt, just missing a pile of rocks and construction debris. A fellow worker immediately called 911. When paramedics arrived, they found Reed conscious, moving, and complaining only of a sore back. Apparently, the fall didn't cost Reed a sense of humor, because when the paramedics carried him back up on a backboard to the ambulance, Reed had one request of them: "Don't drop me." Doctors said that Reed came away from that 110-foot fall with only a bruised lung. That's amazing. The cross of Christ reminds us all that God's already taken the deadly fall. He took it for us. And we have no reason to be nervous about the 3-foot heights that frighten us in this world. Even when in our nervousness we long to hear God's voice and we receive only silence, we can still be confident. I noticed something really interesting. In the scriptures, have you noticed how much silence surrounds Jesus' life? Right from the beginning to the very end. When Jesus is born, only a small number of people, a few shepherds and maybe later a few wise men, knew of his birth. That's it. In one of our Christmas hymns that we like to sing, there's this mystery of silence is mentioned. How silently the gift is given. The scriptures only focus on one episode of his entire childhood, when he is about 12 years old and goes to the temple in Jerusalem with his parents. What happened in the rest of those years? Silence. How incredibly silent the biblical writers are. There's nothing except silence regarding his young manhood until he begins his ministry at about 30 years of age. Most of his life is unknown to us. Scriptures are silent. Do you remember the story about the Syrophoenician woman who came to Jesus in Mark 7? and desperately asked him to heal her child, and Jesus did not answer her with one word, not one word. He was silent at first. When he stood before the high priest, Herod, and Pilate, he was silent. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "My God, let this cup pass from me," in response, he received only silence from God. And then, of course, he hung on the cross and cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Silence. What does all this silence mean? Maybe it reveals that God does not explain to us the mystery of suffering and pain. Rather than an explanation, he gives us something much better. He gives us his presence. The answer is that God is present with us in the good and the evil of life. You know, the book of Job, we studied at length not that long ago, struggles with this dilemma of suffering, doesn't it? In the end, Job discovers that there's no real easy answer for the problem of suffering. Job was unwilling to attribute all the suffering as a punishment of sin. The biblical writers affirm that God is not only in the beautiful dimensions of life, but God's also in the ugly and the difficult parts of life. They affirm God's presence in the flood as well as in the flower. God is present in the storm as well as the sunshine. God is present in the plenty as well as in the famine. God is present in the defeats as well as the victories. Because all of life, every last speck of it, is under the sovereignty of God. Nothing separates us from him. Nothing. Perhaps my favorite passage of scripture of all is something the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecution or hungry or cold or in danger or threatened with death? No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. God does not answer all our questions. But God always, every day, every moment, gives us his presence. God gives himself to us in the midst of our struggles. Sometimes God's presence is discovered not in the noise around us, but in the silence. At the cross, God's great redemption is accomplished in the silent act of suffering. Amid our own pains and our own struggles and our own difficulties, we discover that we are not left to bear them alone. God is with us. The ancient Christian writer Ignatius once wrote, "God affects more by his silence than others do with all of their talking." As you and I, we reflect today on the cross, let us remember that God gives us not an explanation for the problems of evil or suffering or pain, but instead he gives us his presence. God has never forsaken us. He is always present with us. In the most silent moments of your life's deepest pain, you are not alone. But the God who was in Christ on the cross is present with you. And that, my friends, is the source of all of our confidence.